and turn to two places, Romans chapter 7 and then 1 Samuel chapter 25. Romans 7 and 1 Samuel 25. And you pray for me this morning that in the weakness that is in my flesh, that the Spirit of God would be strong. And you see on TV a lot. I'm just going to back up here and lean up against the table here for a minute. You see on TV this idea of what these big mega churches are like. And boy, they make it exciting and they make it all big dramatic and everything like that. And they would kind of leave you with the idea that every time we come to church, we've got to have this big pep rally. Now, I don't mind us singing some good songs every now and then. Amen? Some good, just old, what we call three chords and a cloud of dust. I don't mind that. Okay? And I like for us to have a good time. I like to fellowship. Amen? If we're going to get together today and do some fellowshipping and our family fun night, man, we just have a good time there. But you would think that a lot of these people on TV are just living this real high life, and they never have problems, they never have worries, they never have any difficulties or anything like that. A lot of that has to do with the gospel, the kind of gospel they're preaching. The kind of gospel they preach says that if you just get everything perfect with God, then everything in your life is going to be A-okay and you never have any problems anymore. And I want to tell you something, this guy's got problems. Okay? I mean, I've got some weaknesses in my flesh that I'm not only tired from traveling, just other maladies that are as a result of traveling everywhere. A guy up in Rochester tried to get me to eat tripe, which I don't recommend. Bob, you act like you've been there and done that. I wished I'd have listened to you beforehand. Okay? It tastes like a barnyard. Don't do it. I mean, it does. You go into a barn and go, that's what that tastes like. So, you know, I tried it. But, you know, other than that, I don't want anything to do with it anymore. You know, I'm having some difficulties in my upper back and my shoulders as a result of being electrocuted 4 years ago. I'm going to have to go see a doctor about that. So, you know, I get into a lot of pain. And I'm here to tell you that my whole body just ain't doing very well today. But I'm glad to be here. Amen. So, don't say, well, he's not very spiritual today. Man, I'm extremely spiritual. And I know that because my flesh is weak. And I want to tell you something. God does not work in our flesh. He works in our spirit. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For in your weakness, I am made strong. So if you're going to get a blessing today, it won't be my fault. It'll be the Lord's fault. Amen. I want God to give you a blessing. So somebody say amen. So I'm just going to lean up here for a while. All right. And we were at Buckeyes last night. Boy, I wanted this thing. They had this real nice Lazy Boy recliner chair. You saw that? It was in camouflage. And I'm going, man, that's my deer stand this year. Okay? If I could just have a rifle that was remote control. Amen? That'd be nice. So anyway, Romans chapter 7. Are you there? Say amen. And my voice is, you can hear I'm hoarse, you know. People up in Rochester amen me to death. So anyway, it's just good to be up there. Good to be back here, though. Romans 7, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. How many of you know at least two of the Ten Commandments? Amen. Okay. How many have broke at least one of the Ten Commandments this week? Say amen. Because we're not good people. We're not. We're lawbreakers. Amen. So, and we knew it was wrong, didn't we? We knew it. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman, we're going to talk about Abigail. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now I want to stop right here and just kind of expound on this idea here a little bit. There are two spirits given to us in the Bible. There are two types of a spirit that will work, let's say, in a church, or will work even in a country. How many of you believe there is a spirit that is in control of our country? Okay? There is a spirit that will work in a church. There is a spirit that will work in a home or a marriage or an individual's life. There is the Holy Spirit of God that is wisdom and virtue and purity. I mean, the word holy means something to God. There is also an adulterous spirit in the Bible. It is called in Revelation 17, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of what? Harlots and abominations of the earth. Paul talked about all the time how they were going to turn the grace of God into, or I think that was Peter, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Lascivious means filthiness and like fornication and stuff like that. And this is what we're seeing in our church. When these churches put on sex seminars every Sunday morning, that's lasciviousness. Amen. I'm not going to preach to you a gospel that's going to give you a better you-know-what in your marriage. What I'm going to preach you this morning is how you can keep married. Amen. How the Holy Spirit will work in your life and work in your wife's life and keep you together so you can be a blessing to your children. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what the two spirits is, if Abigail would have just left Nabal at night and snuck off and run off with David, she's an adulteress. And that would be the spirit that would be leading her. But that's not how that happened. So I want you to kind of get a hold of that, all right? Now, he said in verse 4, Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, I'm going to stop right here. Let's go back now to 1 Samuel, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 25. But I'm kind of like leaning up against this table. I need to fix me up a little seat here. This is pretty nice. All right. I want to put my strength into my preaching and not into my legs. 1 Samuel 25. I won't read this whole chapter, but let's look at our characters here for a minute. We have David. Now, I teach a lot on typology. The Bible draws pictures for us in the Scriptures and shows us doctrines. Here's a doctrine here. Romans 7 is about the dual nature that you and I have. How many of you want to serve God and live right and go to heaven when you die? Say amen. You really want to do that. How hard is that sometimes? Sometimes it's impossible. Okay? That's because, and we'll get into this when we finish out Romans 7. Probably like four sermons on this one chapter. But man, I'll tell you what, there's some good deep stuff in here. Romans 7 finishes out talking about the dual nature that we have as Christians. When you get saved, you are perfected, as in God has already counted you as being perfect. God has already accounted you as being right and righteous and all this stuff. But the truth of it is, our flesh is still our flesh. And God, I mean, there's just nothing that you can do with the flesh. It's unruly. It's like Nabal. Nabal is who Abigail is married to. The word Nabal means fool. And he's very foolish. He's churlish. That means he's a smart mouth. That means when somebody is a smart mouth all the time, you know what it is? They don't care what you think about them. They'll just smart off to you and they don't care. That is someone who is very self-centered. You believe that? Now, you're nodding your head like you know this person, and I'm nodding my head at you because I'm looking at you and I know who you are. We are very fleshly people, amen? We're very self-centered, and the truth of it is, in order to conduct a decent marriage, we have to fight off our self-centeredness in our own families. Okay? Especially when a box of Hostess Twinkies is laying on the counter. And you know that's for the kids' lunch. Amen? And you're going after them. Amen? You're going after them all the time. Okay? Or that's for somebody else or whatever. Or if mama just happens to be nice and buys it for daddy. Okay? And the kids come in and they ate everything but the box. They left the box. And I get mad. I get mad. That was for me. You know, like I'm 8 years old. That was for me. We are very self-centered. We're very egotistical. We're very full of pride. That's who Nabal is, okay? And your soul is represented by Abigail, okay? Because I want to tell you something. Your soul could either stay hooked to your flesh, and both of them, the flesh will rot and the soul will burn in hell forever. And that's not what I want. That's not what you want. Or when Nabal dies, and Nabal's going to die, and I like this. Nabal's going to die. Your soul can be joined with David, who represents Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's... That's what we're dealing with. Nabal hates David. We've already learned that. Nabal hates him. Doesn't want anything to do with him. And the truth of it is, your flesh hates going to church, reading the Bible, praying. Okay? Your flesh, you know why fasting is such a great thing to do? It is a purely spiritual act. It is your spirit getting command over your flesh. It is you deliberately telling your flesh, no, no, I'm not eating that. No, I'm not. I know I'm hungry. Listen, I hear you. I know you're hungry. I'm not giving in to you. That's why prayer and fasting is one of those things that every now and then you ought to just do, especially when the heat gets turned on in your life. Somebody say amen. Okay? Yeah, God just kind of takes that serious. Now, I don't believe in rituals that you perform these acts and all of a sudden God has to do this thing. I'm just telling you what fasting is. Fasting is you telling Nabal, forget it. I'm not doing it. Okay? I won't do it. And so anyway, David represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Nabal hates the Lord, our flesh, hates God, hates the Bible, hates the Ten Commandments, hates everything about it, and we don't want anything to do with it, and we just soon God go off, run off somewhere and leave us alone. And the truth of it is, that's what most lost people have come to in their life, is that they may have thought about God, they may have thought about church or this and that and the other, but they love their sin. They love drinking Jack Daniel's whiskey, and they love going clubbing, and they love sleeping around, and they love doing all the taking drugs, and they love saying dirty words and telling dirty jokes, and they love all those things, and they love chatting on the internet with people they ought not be hooked up with. Amen. I mean, that's our flesh. That's what we like doing. But we don't, and most lost people have decided that they don't want God telling them what to do. Amen. They don't want anything to do with it, and so they just forget it. You can cut it off. They want to see God dead. And in most areas in this country, God is dead. Because they've killed him off. They said, I don't want anything to do with you. Not going to have it. All right? So anyway, so that's kind of a quick catch-up session. Now, we know that David wanted to go, and watch this. David is God, who because of the sins of Nabal wanted to go and kill his own house. Okay, he wanted to kill, David was going to kill Nabal, Abigail, all the servants, everything. He was going to slaughter it all. I want you to get this, because as of now, Abigail's still hooked up with Nabal. And while you were in sins, while you were in your trespasses and sins, before you met Jesus, I want to tell you something. God, there was a sentence of death upon your soul. Amen? Because you were hooked in with the flesh. There was a sentence of death on your soul, and look what Abigail did. We talked about this last Sunday. Abigail got away from Nabal, and she went to David, and she said, please, don't kill me. Please forgive me. Sound familiar? Please have mercy on me. I know my husband's wicked. That's what you ought to tell God, because he already knows it. God, I know my flesh is wicked. Amen. I know my heart's. I know I'm a wicked person. God, you should have killed me. But God, please don't kill me. Don't destroy my house. That is a sinner coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation and saying, God, please, I don't want to die and go to hell. So how many of you remember the day? God, please, I don't want to die and go to hell. Please, don't do that. And God hearkened to your Abigail. And now I want to say this. Now this is not really written verbatim into the text. And I don't like to take liberties with the Bible because the Bible is the Bible. But this is what I see. I see Abigail falling in love with David. Now I'm not talking about lascivious in a lascivious manner. But I want to tell you something. When you get tired of Nabal in your life, and I'm not talking about ladies leaving your husbands, but when you get tired of the way that your flesh is doing you, when you get sick and tired of sin, you are looking for something better. Amen? And when you met Jesus, you found it. Somebody say amen. When you met Jesus, you found something that was better than what you were living under and living in. You can only smoke so many cigarettes in life. You can only drink so many beers. You can only take so much drugs. You can only sleep with so many women or so many men. And then it's just nothing anymore. You can only live under the dominion of sin for so long. And then you've had it. I can't take it anymore. And you don't know where to turn. And what it was God getting in a killing mood that made you go and say, hey, wait. I don't want to die. I want to live. And I want you to listen to this now. Because David, and I'm not reading the scriptures yet. David, we read this last Wednesday. David not only listened to her, and this is something that Abigail had never had with Nabal. Husbands, listen to your wives. I don't care if she says, honey, will you please help me make the bed? I don't care if she says it like that or if she says, get over here and help me make this bed.
Amen.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You know what Abigail loved in David? Number one, the fact that he listened to her. Can I tell you something about my God? My God listens to me. My God listens to me when I'm in a good mood, and my God listens to me when I'm in a bad mood. Did you know I've gotten alone at times? And I mean, I've kicked and thrown fits, and I mean, just breathed out all kinds of ignorance to God. And God didn't go with lightning and kill me. I have a God that listens to me. He hears me. Whether I say it all right, or I say it in the right attitude, or I say it in this and that and the other, I have a God who'll listen to me. And I want to tell you something. That's why I love Him. That's why I love Him. I love my God because even when I wasn't right, He was listening to me. You okay there, Michaela? We're listening now, okay? Husbands, listen to your wives. Listen to them, okay? You'll just never know what kind of wisdom might just roll out of your wife's mouth. And I'm not making this up. Did not God look upon the man in the garden and say, it is not good that the man should be alone? Is not that what God said? I will make an help meet. That's not two words. I will make a help. And that help was to be meet, M-E-E-T, which is an old word that means sufficient for his needs. I will make an help for him. My wife does not pastor this church. She's not in charge. You don't see my and my wife's picture up on a billboard saying, Pastors Mike and Lisa Hoggard. It's not going to happen. But she's come to me at times and counseled me. At times she's done it with soft words, and at times she's done it with very loud, shrieking, shrilling, stabbing words. But she knows that if she gives me time, that I'll think about what she said. And God has led and God has blessed in that situation. Let me hear some men say amen. So the thing that Abigail liked about David was that David listened to her. And listen to this. David's heart was softened by Abigail. That's our God right there. His heart was softened toward us. And he listened to our pleadings and our beggings and our requests and our prayers. And David stuck his old sword in his sheath and said, put them down, boys. Put them down. She's right. We're going to let the Lord take care of this. Okay? So now let's look at what happened. Okay. Let's see here. But where do we want to pick it up? Look at verse 30 of 1 Samuel chapter 25. You know what? Did we already pray? I don't think so. Let's pray again. All right. I'm feeling I got a little bit of wind in me. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, dear God, for your strength and your love toward us. God, forgive us all, Lord, of our sins. And Lord, thank you, dear God, for hearing us and for listening to us. God, even when we didn't say things right, even when we complained, God, Lord, thank you, Lord, for hearing us. And God, I just don't see a time, Lord, where I just quit praying to you, because God, you've always been so good to me, and you've listened to me, God. You've said good things to me, and I thank you for that. And Father, I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd bless this message and bless these people, Lord. And Lord, it ain't me today. Lord, it's not me. It's you. And I just pray, God, Lord, that you'd help them and bless them and encourage them this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, look at verse 30, 1 Samuel 25. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. See, that is prophecy. That is the hope. David represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was proclaimed to be the King of Kings, or the King of the Jews at his birth and at his death. And he will be the King of the Jews once again. Do you believe the Bible? Say amen. He will yet be the King of the Jews. Verse 31. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Now look at verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed, and by the way, I want to say this to you. God is the one who sent you to be saved. For every good thing in your life, you thank God for it. If you went a whole day and didn't do all that stuff that you used to do, or that stuff that you wanted to do, if you go a whole day and do that, don't you dare pat yourself on the back for it, because I guarantee it wasn't your idea. It was God. Amen. It was God that kept you. It was God that sealed you. It was God that kept you from being corrupt that day. That's whose it was. It was God. It was God that sent Abigail to David. It was God that brought you to a place in your life where you said, God, I want to be saved. It was God. Okay? This is not the first church of self-help. This is not the first church of self-righteousness. It's the first church of the salvage yard. Amen? All right. Now verse 33, and blessed be thy advice. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou. And bless is a salvation term. Okay, when you're blessed, you're saved. All right. Blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to me, surely there had been not been left unto Nabal by morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and I have accepted that person. Hallelujah. Amen. I have hearkened to thy voice, and I have accepted thy person. We now are now accepted in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you something. I've said this before. If I'm in a crowd of people and I figure out pretty quick that they think that they're better than me, I'm out. Amen. I'm out of there. I don't belong in that kind of situation. And I don't like being in that situation. And I've spent too much of my life trying to suck up to people to try to get in with them, only to be refused and kicked out and everything like that. And I'll just tell you, if I start hanging around you long enough and you start making it feel like you're better than me, man, I love you, but I'm not going to hang around you very much. I mean, that's just my nature. That's just how it is. Amen. And that's pride, by the way, but David has accepted now Abigail. The Bible says she is accepted in the beloved. And God took you when everything in the world rejected you and kicked you out and put you by the wayside. God came and accepted you. Now, verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal. And behold, he held a feast in his house, because Nabal loves himself. He's going to feed his flesh. Amen. He's just going to feed his flesh and have a big feast, like the feast of a king. Man. Let me give a societal comment here for a minute. This nation has the highest standard of living anywhere in the country. And this nation also believes that we deserve the very best. Doesn't matter if you can pay for it or not. This country used to have wealth, but it does not have wealth anymore. It has a lot of debt. And our government has led the charge. Amen. And we have a lot of debt in this country because we want to keep living higher and higher and higher. We want to all live like kings. And that really is, if you nail it down, the American dream used to be that anybody could come to this country and work an honest day's wage and get an honest day and get a day's wage out of it, enough to feed their family and have a little house to live in. That really was the American dream, that you could do that in this country. Now the American dream is to have a house that you cannot afford, eating food that you can is too expensive for you to eat all the time, and it's not healthy for you. Amen. And I'm not a health food nut by any ways, but I'm telling you, we just think that we just deserve a buffet every time we sit down to eat. And if you and I like Branson, but if you go to Branson, that's what it is out there. Okay? We're way, way, way overfed in this country. But we think that we deserve it that way because we're Americans for some reason, and we all want to live like a king, and that is our flesh telling us that. Okay? So anyway, like the feast of a king, and verse 36, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very what? He was very drunken. That sounds like America. Good grief. Two people can't get together in this country without having a beer or a martini or scotch or vodka or anything. Everybody's got a drink when they get together. It's how we are in this country. Sick. It's absolutely sickening. Amen? I mean, how many stores can we go to in this county that don't sell alcohol? How many of them? How many restaurants can we go to? And I'm not talking about like McDonald's. Okay? How many restaurants can we go into that doesn't have a bar or something like that? God bless him. Mike Infantino up there in Rochester, New York. I'll tell you what, great Italian restaurant other than the bowl of tripe the guy had. Okay? But I had a good Italian meal up there fixed by a real. When your name's Infantino, okay, you're Italian. And you know what he does? He has this wonderful Italian restaurant up there. You know what? He does not serve wine or alcohol in this deal. And I didn't see anybody going, well, I'll never. There's people in there. He was busy. He has business. You know what? God's blessing him. Amen. But I want to tell you something. We are drunken in this country. A lot of you know Brother Reg Kelly. It seemed like he told me one time, I think it was his brother or something like that, that was running for state legislature, and he was going to pass a bill in Jefferson City that was going to outlaw the sale of alcoholic beverages in Jefferson City. Do you know why he did that? Because the number one consumer of alcoholic beverages in Jefferson City, Missouri, is the state capitol. And it's that way in Washington, D.C. too. This nation is being led by a bunch of drunks. He was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. I like it when the morning light comes on. Amen. And I just love this story. I love this. I can't wait to get to this. So look at verse 37. But it came to pass. Abigail was fixing to tell Nabal the bad news. That it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal. And I don't know, those of you who might remember the old days, when the wine's gone out of you, you're not feeling all that good. Amen. I mean, the wine feels good, and the scotch feels good, and the Jack Daniels feels good, and all that stuff. But when it's gone out of you, you don't feel very good. Okay? And so here he is getting up out of bed. And there's Abigail sitting there waiting for him. And his wife told him these things. What did she tell him? Honey, I met a man. This man was coming to kill you. His name was David. You know that man that you hate? He had his sword in his hand. He had 400 soldiers with him. By the way, 4 is the number for the gospel. Okay? He had 400 soldiers with him, honey. And he was coming to kill you. He was ready. And I took some cakes and some food. And I went to him on your behalf. And I fed him. And I appeased him. And now he has repented. And he's not coming to kill you. But honey, I just wanted you to know that I met somebody like that. And I want to tell you something. When your flesh found out that you met Jesus, I want you to look at this now. Because I'm going to get to the point. Now I'm going to preach the sermon that I started out trying to preach 3 Sundays ago. Because Romans 7 says, don't you know that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth? Now, God has order and patterns in the Bible. And everything in the Bible has a number. And I don't just make this up, but you stop and think about it, it makes sense. Okay? The number 10 is a number for dominion in the Bible. The number 10 is a number for dominion in the Bible. You have in the Bible, 10 toes represent dominion. God told Joshua, every place the sole of your feet touches, I'm going to give you that land. In Revelation 10, we have Jesus coming down from heaven, and he puts his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. I may have that wrong, but he puts his foot down on the earth and the sea, and now he's got it. It's his. He's taken dominion over it. In Joshua chapter 10, we have a story of they brought out the five Philistine lords. They were the enemies of Israel. And they had captured them and put them in a cave. Now they're bringing them out. And Joshua said, lay them down on the ground. So they laid them down on the ground. These are five kings. And they told the captain of the guards, go stand on the necks of these kings. And he said, this is what God is going to do to all your enemies against whom you fight. In other words, you're going to have dominion over your enemies. Okay, now watch this. He talked about the law having dominion over a man. How many commandments were there? There were 10 commandments. The law still, I don't care if they take it out of every courtroom in America, the law still has dominion over a man. Amen. But you know why? God encoded it into our DNA. And I don't want to get into all that this morning, but I'm here to tell you that God wrote the law into us. We know that it's wrong to commit adultery. We know it's wrong to steal. We know it's wrong to lie. We know it's wrong to covet, don't we? We know it's wrong. And it has dominion over us. That's in our flesh. So I want you to watch this. I read this and I shouted. Now look at this. It came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal, verse 37, that his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him and he became as a what? What was the Ten Commandments written on? Stone. Now look, verse 38. And it came to pass about how many days after? Woo! I read this and I went, oh. The law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. But then the man, the old man's going to die. And his heart turned to stone. And it was that way for 10 days. And then the Lord called Nabal home. Amen. And the Lord smote Nabal that he died. Now, Abigail, she's free. Amen. She's free. And I want to tell you something. This old boy is looking for the day when I get to be free. Listen, Americans, we love freedom. We have taken for granted the freedoms that we have here. That's why we're going to lose them. That's why we're going to lose them. Okay? And I go through the airport and I don't like all that stuff you got to do, but I'll be honest with you. There's some people out there that probably would blow another plane up if they had the opportunity. And I am kind of glad that there are people out there that are standing in the way, to be honest with you. You know what the TSA represents? They represent the law. And we may not like, boy, there was a woman there yesterday. Oh my goodness. She was not happy about going through security at the airport. And you know what the deal is now? If you're in line at the airport and you complain, they put your name down on a list. So we better be good little people when we walk through the airport line. Amen? Take your shoes off. Why, yes, ma'am. I was just going to do that. Thank you. I don't like the scanners. Amen? But I'm telling you, see, the law is not our enemy if you love the law. But I'm telling you, it has dominion over us. And the truth of it is, you and I cannot keep the law. It's impossible. Don't let any church or religious institution teach you that if you rise up to a certain level of obedience, then God will have favor on you. It's a lie. It's a pure, I don't care if it's the charismatic or the King James fundamentalist. And we are fundamentalist King James Bible believers here. Okay? But there are a lot of fundamentalists that'll tell you that God will only bless you if you come up to certain standards in your life. And that is not true. It's a lie. If God meant that if we lived a certain way and did everything right, then he would bless us. See, that's the Old Testament. That is what Jesus nailed to the cross, because it doesn't work. Because the law has dominion over us. And Anthony, we're not good people. We're not good people. We may hide it well. The truth of it is, we're not. And I want to tell you something. Mike Hoggard wants to be free. The older I get, the more free I want to be. I want to be freed from this flesh. Now, I have looked forward all my life to growing older because I like maturity. Because I, in my nature, I'm a very immature person. And I like to see myself maturing, you know, at least in my mind and my emotions and things like that. But I hate what's happening in my body. I hate it. I can't see. Okay? I can't hardly carry things anymore. I don't mind getting out and doing the work, but I'm getting where I can't do it anymore. My body hurts. It aches. I can't lose weight to save my life. And I battle this flesh as much as anybody else does, and I hate it. Let me tell you what God's going to do one of these days. God's going to make an announcement to old Nabal here. Nabal! Your wife met somebody else. Amen. And the only way that she can have him is for you to die. So guess what's going to happen, Nabal? You're going to die. And hallelujah. Because now Abigail is free. By the way, and she doesn't have to marry David. That's not what was said here. She's free to do whatever she wants. What did she want? What? Oh, look at this. Mm-mm-mm. Verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord." Amen. Listen, God, that's why God rejoices over the death of his saints. You know why? Because they're free now. Their dead body is not going to hurt them anymore. They're not going to sin anymore. They're free, and God rejoices over that. And you ought to too. Amen. I guarantee you, we have a... Listen, at my funeral, you just have an old Holy Ghost shouting spell. Amen? Bless God, he's out of here. Amen. Mike Hoggard don't have to deal with his flesh anymore. Somebody say amen. I mean it. Listen, I mean it. All right? So anyway, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own," what? Head. Oh. When the high priest, according to the law, when the high priest, on the Day of Atonement, he went to the goat, and he took and he laid his hands on the goat, and by a symbol and a type, he transferred the sins of the whole land upon the head of that goat. He's returned it to, that's what that means, returned it to his own head. So he transfers the sins of that goat to his head, and then they take that goat out and they get him out away from the people. Amen? Now watch this. I love this. You just, every now and then, if you don't want to do it today, go home, get alone, and shout. Because I want to tell you the picture that God drew of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was of the seed of David. And you know what David looked like? He was ruddy. You know what that means? He looked like Matthew and Courtney. Red-headed freckle face. That's ruddy. Okay? He had that kind of complexion. He had hair that was red. And I believe Jesus had red hair. It doesn't really say that, but I want you to get this. Okay? Because that was when he went hung on the cross. When John saw him in Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says that his hair was like wool, white as snow. You remember what God said to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 1? He said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as... Though they be red like crimson, they shall be what? As wool, the Bible says. Now watch this. What did they put on Jesus' head when they crucified him on the cross? A crown of thorns. A crown shows a king having dominion over you. And the thorns represent the curse of sin. And they was on Jesus. What? Was they hanging on his arm? His bracelet? By the way, I don't like these tattooed thorns on everybody. Amen. They were on his head. God in a symbol had placed your sins upon his head. And he goes up to the Father and offers the blood of atonement on the holy mercy seat of God Almighty in heaven. And when John sees him again, now his head's not red anymore. It's white like wool. Somebody say amen. I need to sit down for a minute. Praise the Lord. Now, let's see. And David, verse 39, in the last half of verse 39, David sent and communed with Abigail. I love communion. I love it when I love it when God, Jesus Christ, will come sit down by me and say, Mike, let's talk. Let's talk. He communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. He didn't show up with his sword and stick it to her throat and say, come with me. She's free now. She's not property. Amen? So he sat down with her and he said, Abigail, I'm just kind of adding some things here. Abigail, I saw God in you. When you came to me, God melted my heart because of what you were asking me. And Abigail, I know that you're free now. And I know how your husband was. I know how rough it was being married to him. Abigail, I'd like to make you an offer. And Abigail's just sitting there and heart's pounding, you know. Abigail, will you marry me? And I'm going to tell you something. You didn't so much come to God as God came to you. God came to you. Jesus Christ came to you. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ came to you and said, how would you like to be the bride of the Master's Son? How would you like to with him inherit all things? How would you like to live and rejoice in the kingdom of heaven for all of eternity? How would you like to be one with the Savior and the Master? How would you like to have somebody, listen to this. How would you like to have somebody who for once in your life, something you've always desired, something you've always wanted all your life, how would you like to have somebody who would never leave you or forsake you? How would you like to have somebody that will listen to you? How would you like to have somebody that will provide for you and will protect you? And no matter what shape your body's in, no matter what how things are, how would you like to have somebody that will love you unconditionally and even if need be, lay down his life for you? How would you like to be married? And the reason why we struggle so much sometimes in Christianity is we're not used to somebody treating us that well. Say amen to that. And we all got friends and family and this, but the truth of it is, we're not used to someone being that good to us. And it's hard for me sometimes to take. Amen? So he sat down and he communed with her about being his wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us to thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. You know, one of the greatest things that Jesus instituted for us to do, and we still do them here, because I think it's the right thing to do, is that we partake of the Lord's Supper, and then we'll split off. Men go downstairs and ladies stay upstairs. You know what we'll do? We'll wash each other's feet, because that's what Jesus did with his disciples. And he said, see that what I've told you, now you do likewise to one another. And I want to tell you something. That is a servant's heart. Abigail did not go into this relationship with Jesus so she could say, finally, I got somebody I can have my way with. Amen? Remember last Sunday? She didn't go to him with cigarette and martini glass in her hands. Hey, David, you leave my husband alone. And she'd been smoking for 40 years. So she is, hey, David, leave my husband alone. Amen. She went to be a servant. I want to tell you something. God saved me. And I'm not here to tell God what to do. I want to serve the Master. Amen. I want to serve my Lord. I want to wash His feet. I want to be His disciple. Somebody say amen. Wow. Verse 42. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass. And look at here. How many damsels of hers? Five. Matthew chapter 24. Turn there very quickly. And I'm going to be done. We got food downstairs. Got to get done. Amen. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. When the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, there was 5 of them, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's number 1. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then number 5, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question today. Are you ready? If Jesus appeared in the clouds today, would you be ready to meet Him? Or are you foolish? Are you sitting in church being foolish, not ready? I'm here to ask you this morning, are you ready? The bridegroom is coming. Do you believe the Bible? Say amen. We don't know when it's coming, just like we don't know when we're going to die. And if you want to keep gambling all your life, that's your business. But I'm here to tell you, the bridegroom is coming. At such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And will you be ready to go out and meet Jesus? Are you ready today? Are you ready today? Let's stand to our feet.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.